Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's always the case that guest preachers stand up and say, I'm so happy to be here. I have no idea if they all mean it or not, but I'm so happy to be here, and I mean it. I was thinking on the plane yesterday, thank you. I was thinking on the plane yesterday, coming down from the tundra, really? My connection to your congregation goes back well over a decade. 12, 13 years ago, I helped Emmanuel do a capital appeal. I was their guest, I was their consultant. And a portion of that appeal went to start the first congregation here in Tradition. And I remember Tuck Ocker, many of you know Tuck, New Tuck. It's hard for me to think New Tuck. I remember him driving me out here. And all I remember is that there was the town hall here. And I think that was kind of it. But he talked about the dream of that congregation to start a congregation here. Then a couple of years ago, I was minding my own business at a stewardship conference in Washington, D.C., leading a workshop, and this pastor from Florida with a kind of a New York accent came up to me, and we started talking about the possibility of me coming down and working with your congregation on this appeal. And as I was thinking yesterday on the plane, I was thinking a few things. First of all, how my respect for your pastor has just gone off the charts. And I know you would agree with me on that. I was also thinking that there have been a few speed bumps along the way. Nothing serious, not hurdles, just speed bumps. And how excited I am that we are in the place together right now that we are. I just feel like your congregation is ready to do this. And you're on board that this move back to tradition is what you want to do. And so it's a real honor for me to have had that long duration of involvement and to be able to be with you in worship this morning, 1 week ahead of Commitment Sunday, and to see you where you are. It's a long way from that drive out to look at the town hall to today. And I'm privileged to have been a part of that along the way, certainly not as much as you are, but to have had those points of contact. So it really is a privilege and an honor to be able to worship with you this morning and to bring you God's word. With that, grace and peace be unto you, Christian friends, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about financial generosity, about giving. Since you're in the midst of this appeal, and next Sunday is Commitment Sunday, as you make your commitments to make the move back to tradition a reality, you've probably been thinking about giving. I want to talk a little bit about the appeal, but more than that, I want to talk about giving in general, giving that will last long beyond this appeal. As the basis for my sermon, I want to use one simple sentence from the Apostle Paul. You may have heard it before. Writing to the Christians in Corinth, Paul says, "God loves a cheerful giver." I have a friend who likes to make up his own version of well-known Bible verses. Most of his efforts are completely forgettable. However, I think he's done pretty well with this well-known stewardship verse. His version is, "God doesn't want your grumpy bucks." As Christians, we believe that God doesn't want your grumpy bucks. We believe that because we also believe that everything that we have not only comes from God, but in a very real sense, still belongs to God. Everything that is God's. And we believe that God has entrusted some of what God owns into your care. That's what stewardship means. God owns it. And some of what God owns, God entrusts to you as you walk through this life. God entrusts it into your care, into your management, into your stewardship. That really is amazing news. That God thinks so highly of you that God has given you some of God's own stuff to care for as you walk through this life. God owns it. You get to use it. And when it comes to how you use it, God says this: I don't want you to keep it all for yourself. I want you to use some of it to spread my word around the world. I want you to use some of it to help people who don't have enough. I want you to give some of it away. Oh, and by the way, I don't want you to whine and complain about that, because it isn't your stuff anyway. I don't want your grumpy box. I think there's something else about this grumpy box stuff. I think it's also true that you don't want to be a grumpy giver. Who among us likes to take any delight when it feels like we're giving out of guilt or reluctance or because we have to? It's more fun to give with a smile on your face through an organization you believe in, knowing your giving is making a difference in the world, and that your giving is a reflection of the giving that God has already done to you. God loves a cheerful giver, Paul says. You want to be a cheerful giver. What I want to try to do in my sermon this morning is answer this simple question: what can each of us do to become a more cheerful giver? There was a time in my life when I was a grumpy giver. It was when I was in seminary. I was working part-time in a congregation, and the only word to describe my giving to that congregation was grumpy. I would get up on Sunday morning, and between breakfast and getting into the car to drive to church, I would think about my giving. I'd go to my checkbook ledger. People actually had those back when I was in seminary. I'd go to my checkbook ledger to see how much money was in the checking account. And then I'd decide how much I was going to give. Some Sundays, the balance was pretty healthy, and I'd write out my check, and it wasn't too bad. Some Sundays, the balance was pretty low, so that writing the check to the church reduced the balance to just about zero, and I'd write it out, and I wasn't very happy. Other Sundays, the balance was so low that to write out the check to the church would put the balance below zero, and I'd go off to church with no offering, and then I was really grumpy. What I've learned over the years is that the only way that I could move from being that kind of grumpy giver to being a much more cheerful giver was to learn some simple lessons that God has for us in the Bible about giving. I learned that if I'm going to be a cheerful giver, I needed to line my giving up with God's word. And when that happened, when I got it lined up right, then giving became an incredibly cheerful thing to do. So what do we find in God's word? I want to lift up very quickly five things. The first of these is the Bible says that a cheerful giver is intentional. One of the places that it most clearly states this is in the chapter before our lesson for this morning. Paul says, each of you should give as you have made up your mind. God wants you to think in advance about your giving, to reflect on your blessings, and to make a plan. I was doing Sunday morning between the Cheerios and the car keys. That's not a plan. God wants us to have a plan for our giving. Every time I think about my giving for the next year, as I start to make my plan and say, what will I give next year? I like to ask myself two simple questions. The first is, how do I feel God has blessed me in the past year? And the second is, how do I feel God is calling me to respond to those blessings through my giving? Those two questions and the answers to them lead to my plan. In this capital appeal, you're going to be asked to be very intentional about your giving. Next Sunday, you're going to be asked to return a commitment card. Filling that out, as you know, is a very intentional act. So you're already one step down the path of being a more cheerful giver. The second thing the Bible says is that cheerful givers give regularly. There are lots of places in the Bible that talk about setting something aside each day so that you can give on Sunday. Back then, people were paid every day. At the end of a day's work, you got your pay. We receive our income differently now. So for some of you, giving regularly may mean giving each week. For others, it may mean giving once a month or twice a month. Giving regularly means giving when you receive income. Giving regularly is really nothing more than living out the plan that you've developed. The third thing that the Bible says is that a cheerful giver is generous. I'm totally convinced that there is a direct connection between generosity and cheerfulness. I know a lot of really generous people, and every one of them appears to be very happy about their giving. I know a few stingy people, and every one of them appears to be crabby about their giving. Obviously, what it means to be generous is something that God's people disagree about. The biblical standard, at least in the Old Testament, is the tithe. There, generosity is defined as giving away 10% of one's income. I know some people who tithe. I know some people who start at a tithe and grow their giving beyond that. Obviously, I know a lot of people who give less than 10%. As you think about your giving and what it means to be generous, a good place to start might be that tithe or 10%. Fourth thing the Bible says about cheerful givers is that they give first. We live in a world where you hear thousands of messages every day, literally thousands of messages every day that tell you the way to happiness is to buy things. Those messages tell you the more stuff you have, the happier you will be. In the face of that, perhaps the most important of these biblical characteristics is to give to God first. What that means is whenever you receive income, the first thing you do is write the check to the church or have the automatic transfer done to the church. If you give to God first, there always seems to be enough to live on. If you take care of the rest of life first, there never seems to be enough for God. First, give to God, then live on the rest. Finally, number five, a cheerful giver gives proportionately. as I've already mentioned, the Bible talks about giving a percentage of your income. If you have more, you give more. If you have less, you give less. It's the portion that matters, not the actual dollar amount. This comes to us, I think, in two ways. For those of us who have much, it comes to us as a word of challenge. And for those of us who don't have so much, it comes to us as a word of comfort. Because what it says is that from whatever you have, giving proportionately, God blesses that giving, God embraces that giving, God appreciates that giving. We should never feel like our giving, if we don't have a lot, doesn't matter. Because in God's eyes, it does. And if we do have quite a bit, we should never imagine that it's okay to get by on a little, because it's not. In the lives of so many people, what they have discovered is that when their giving becomes intentional, regular, generous, first, and proportionate, something amazing happened. When these were in place, their giving became cheerful. That was my experience in life. I'd encourage you to think about these five biblical characteristics of giving, and then to pick one. Pick the one that you think would help you most become a more cheerful giver, and work on that one. Not all five, just one. I'm pretty sure that when you do that, your giving will become more cheerful. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul said, God loves a cheerful giver. A few books earlier in the Bible, in the book of Acts, speaking to another group of Christians, Paul said this, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. For he himself said, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. Taken together, these two Bible verses are kind of amazing. In the first one, Paul says that cheerful giving makes God happy. In fact, God loves it. In the second one, Paul, quoting Jesus, says that the person who gives is happy, even happier than the person who receives. Think about this. Here is something that you can do that will make God happy and make you happy. Give cheerfully, intentionally, regularly, generously, first, and proportionate. When you do that, God will smile, and so will you. I have to wonder why so many people fight this. You'd think that every Christian on the face of the planet would be standing in line to give this way. But, and it sounds like a TV commercial, there is more. When you give this way, your congregation, Living Faith Church, benefits. Perhaps even more importantly, every person who is touched by Living Faith Church benefits. All you who are here now. Everyone who will be drawn to your congregation when you're on a busy street in tradition. Everyone who is touched by your outreach into the community and into the world. Everyone benefits. This is an important time in the life of your congregation. Important for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which is that it provides you with an opportunity to consider your own giving and to grow that giving. I would invite you to use the next week, as you decide about your gift to It's Time to Come Home, to take a deep look, to discover just how generous you can be. Growing generosity is really fairly simple and fairly amazing. So there you have it. There is one thing that you can do that will make God happy,
will make you happy, will benefit your congregation, and will help your community and the world? One simple thing. Who wouldn't want to do that one simple thing? Amen.